Peter 1, verse 16. Now, we are on the letter S in the ABCs of Christian maturity. That has taken us to the word separation. Separation is a word, it's a practice that is not very common among modern-day Christianity. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of franchises out there that believe that the more alike the world you are, the more people you can bring in. And if the whole idea is we are trying to get people to escape hell, we're trying to get people to escape these lifestyles, imitating that lifestyle will not help them. I woke up to the heartbreaking news over here that somebody's car, it was a father and two kids, were driving up Mount Morris Road, had to pull over, car caught on fire. They were able to get out, but I saw pictures of it. It was pretty devastating. Right, the firefighters or whoever did not set their truck on fire to better help that car. That's what people are doing. They're trying to make themselves more worldly in hopes to attract the world. That's not going to work. We want to be separate. Now, when we say separate, again, we have to remember we don't mean live as hermits. Sit off somewhere in the woods, as tempting as that sounds right about now, it's not what we're called to do. We are to be among the world, but not of the world anymore. Our lives are supposed to change. Our patterns of behavior are supposed to change. Our reactions should change based off of what we see in this verse right here. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And of course, we're referring to the Lord here. We cannot be as holy as God is, but we are to try in every aspect possible. We are to exhaust ourselves in the attempt. There are far too many folks who live saved, but they do not want to act sanctified, because they would much rather try to have the best of both worlds, and they use the excuse, well, no one is perfect. That's not an out. It really isn't. So we see that under the basis of God's nature, we are called to be separate, to be holier than we were before. And again, you hear that phrase all the time. Well, they call you holier than thou. No, I'm trying to be holier than me. That's my attempt. I don't care so much about what you're doing. Of course, as a preacher, as a pastor, I care about what the church is doing. But any random person on the street, I don't need to be holier than you. I need to be holier than me yesterday. And tomorrow, guess what? I'm setting the goal for tomorrow, today. We want to always make sure that we are growing in our separation, growing in our sanctification. So again, initially, when we are saved, we are set apart. We're talking about that continual sanctification, the more and more I move away from my old sinful habits, the more I move away from the more sinful philosophies of life. Now, we understand that comes from redemption, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Right? Well, why can't I go down to the bar? There ain't nothing against it. It's not the way you're supposed to be treating your body. God makes it very clear that you're supposed to purport yourself in a certain way, and liquor, alcohol doesn't help you do that. As a matter of fact, it tempts you to do the opposite. Destroys the body, boxes the liver, does all sorts of bad stuff to you. Don't do it. Why can't I cuss? Because you're not representing the Lord properly in your spirit when you got your head hanging out of the window in the middle of 75, letting your neighbors know how you feel about them. That is not being as holy as God is, right? We are not our own. Our purportment, the things that we do, belong to God. Now, to any more carnally minded person hearing that, they would say, well, I guess I've got nothing to enjoy in my life. Well, as a matter of fact, many of you have things you enjoy every day, right? We all have our freedoms. We all have the things that we get to do, and we enjoy them. right? Some of y'all invite me every now and then. Brother Mike invited me to a hockey game. I've never been to a hockey game before. That was my first one. That was exciting, right? There's nothing wrong with doing something like that. Many of you, you talk to me, you're planting your gardens. You're out there doing stuff, right? That is something you enjoy. That is something you get benefit out of. You get the personal joys. My in-laws are here on vacation. Vacations are things that we can still have, but be sanctified in doing so. We understand that it is a sinless way of living, not a funless way of living. Still have fun. Still out there and have the things that enjoy. You can still go buy things. You can still go experience things, go see things. You can still have an amazing life. And as Christ put it, a life more abundant. But you got to understand that there are things that do not allow that. There are things that get in the way, right? And again, we see in this passage of Scripture, we are bought with a price. Now, why? Why were we bought with a price? Because we were headed to the scrapyard if he didn't. That's where we were headed, right? We were set out to the side of the road. If you remember that sermon, we were set out as junk. We were headed for hell. But he came by and redeemed our lives. Why? For better. And all we do is with this unsanctified stuff, with this sinful stuff, we bring it back in and make it worse, right? That's not what we should want to do. We see also, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which means every now and then you got to stop a heartbeat and go, listen, is this going to distract somebody from God when they see my life? When they hear me doing this, when they see me doing this, is this going to be something that somebody's going to use against God because I did it? Well, you're a Christian. Why is it that you sit there and you talk to your family that way out in your backyard? Well, you say you're a Christian. Why'd you do this with the company money? Why'd you do this with this or that? We don't want to cause people in questioning our integrity to question who God is. Because remember, that is an inseparable thing. People will always be looking for a way to accuse God through what you do. We confuse man with God all the time and vice versa. Right? We don't want to be the cause for someone to stumble because we are not sanctified. Right? Now, I like the way Brother Dennis put it this morning. He's not worried about the preachers. He's not worried about us. He's worried about what, now, I don't want to use the word worried, but what God has to say. Now, here's the thing, brother. If you're concerned about what God has to say, and we're concerned about what God has to say, guess what's going to happen in the church? We'll all be lined up. Right? If you fail, you'll be nervous about God. You'll be nervous about us. Why? Because we've all got the same priorities. One of the most damaging things we can do is be that one person who likes to make exceptions for everything. Well, I don't think it's too bad. Well, I don't think it's all that big of a deal. Well, I don't see the reason for it. If you don't see the reason for it, that's a good time for you and I to talk. That's a good time for us to get together, get some scriptures out, right? For us to see there why exactly that is and what this could potentially do for your... not just your integrity, but for your witness, right? For your testimony, if you are seen doing certain things. We want to live a sinless life, which invokes the need to sin less. Right? Now, we look at our regeneration. We are a brand new creature. In our salvation, we're new, which means we no longer need those things to be happy. But because the old nature remains, some of those old things can still give us that little boost, right? They'll still give you that little thrill when you're watching something you're not supposed to watch, when you're drinking or eating something you're not supposed to, well, whatever it is. When you participate in sin, yeah, you'll still get a little thrill out of it, right? So, but you're a brand new creature. You no longer need it to get that thrill or to have that joy, right? We're brand new. The old things, as the verse say, the old things are to pass away. Those old things go away. I remember that song, George Jantz, "We Don't Live Here Anymore." He talked about the old place that he used to go with his friends. He goes, "Oh, thank God we don't live here anymore. I went back to the old house, and the kid remembered back when Daddy would drink, and Daddy would come home angry, and he'd run and he'd hide behind the door." He says, "Oh, no, son. No, you got a brand new Daddy now. We don't live here anymore." And as so often with our sins, that's not who we are anymore. Saul has passed away. This is Paul now, right? We're no longer that person. We are a brand new creature, and we are to exercise to be that brand new creature, right? We've got to fit the bill of what it is God has called us to be. So we let those things pass away. We let those things die. And in that, we'll create a gap between us and the rest of the world. Now, of course, that gap isn't because of us. We're not showing off. That gap is there because I'm walking with God, and this world is contrary to God. So the things that I'm going to stand for, they're not going to like. John 15:19. John 15 and verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Listen, when your buddy at work, and many of you are retired, I know, but when your buddy at work would come in and say, oh, I got so drunk yesterday, I passed out in the front yard. And everybody in the break room would go, oh, yeah, man, yeah. That sounds like a horrible thing. Right, so, I'm not anywhere near as old as to say that I am, but I bought a brand new pillow. I slept on it, and now my back hurts a little bit. Could you imagine sleeping out in the front yard, sick to death, dehydrated, drunk out of your mind, waking up going, "Yeah, man, that seems absurd to me. What are you doing?" Oh yeah, well I got into a fight with so and so, and we did this, and now I got a cut here, and my doctor says it's going to take 3 weeks for my eye to heal. Yeah, man. World loves that stuff. We don't. Why? Because we've got the good sense God gave us. Now, again, that we don't want to boast on that. You didn't buy that. You didn't earn that. You didn't build that. God gave that to you. Because if you were of the world, you'd be sitting right there with him going, yeah. They love their own. Of course, they're not going to love us. Why? Because we are not. We belong to God. We're not of them anymore. We're going to sit there and say, hey, man, that sin, God is going to judge you for that. God is going to wreak some kind of punishment on you for that. Hey, listen, do you understand that sinners die and go to hell? Hey, listen, man, that you're ruining your family. You're ruining your testimony. You're making a mess of yourself. But they don't want to hear that. But that's what we would want to say. That's what we would do. We are not going to be same, and we should not be. According to 1 John 2:15, the believer is to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Right? Basically saying this, that if there's anything in this world that God said no to, we would say no to just the same. We're not to love these things so much. That we sit there and we compromise, and that we're willing to hurt ourselves spiritually or hurt others to get it, right? We shouldn't love those things so much, right? We all love certain activities. We've all got hobbies. Love your hobby, but don't love it to the point to where it goes over God, right? Love not. Don't prefer it. Don't put it first. And oftentimes you'll find this, that the things you put between you and God are the things that God goes after when he's ready to get you close again, when he's done with it, right? We've got that dog. We've been walking that dog 3-4 times a day, right? When that dog gets too far ahead of me, I stop. And if it doesn't get the point, I start walking backwards. And it comes over and it sits by me and it knows that we're ready to go. We move forward, right? Why? That's correction, right? God will do that to you. And often using the things that you love in order to get you to focus back up on him. Don't put something between him and between you and the Lord. Right? That'll be the first thing that he snags up and out from you. Right? So that love, it's good to have things, it's good to enjoy things. But if you love it, you prefer it more than you do the things of God, or you put too much into it, it's going to start overrunning things. Why does it say it like that? Why does it say love? Because if I put too much of my heart into something, it becomes a temptation for me to put that first over all other things. Right? Whether it's chasing money, chasing fun, chasing dopamine, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you put too much of your heart into will one day be the thing that tries to pull you away from the Lord. You got to keep all things in balance, all things in perspective, right? I was looking at my kayak yesterday. I want to go kayaking, but I'm busy, right? So where does that go? It goes over there. Why? Because I don't love it in that way. I don't love it in the way that it dominates. I don't love it in a way that I let it tempt me away from seriousness. We put that aside. This morning would have been a great morning for it, but this morning is also a great morning to be in the house of the Lord, right? So that's where we're going to be. We put that first, right? We do not put things out of their place, or of course we understand that the Lord will take them away. When the Bible speaks of the world in this sense, it does not mean the creation of God. It does not mean necessarily even mean material possessions, but it refers to the world system, worldly philosophy, humanism, things that pertain to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To me, that's always been the best definition of what the world means. It means the things that would pull on that, my flesh, my eyes, and the pride of life, you know. Hey, listen, if I really put the effort into it, we could make this promotion. Hey, if I really put myself into it, I could make this change or do this or do that. And we put all these things into what the world says is necessary. And after a while, we're compromising just to have those things. No, we need to be able to do, again, everything I do from the perspective of serving the Lord. Well, what happens? Happens to, if you don't, I'll leave you. If you don't, I'll fire you. If you don't, I'll take this from you. Well, I'm serving the Lord. Right? If that's what you feel. We sit there, we talk about, you know, everything going on in the school systems nowadays, and then of course it always puts a magnifying glass on it when you got a shooting or something like that. You know, why is it that you're sacrificing to do this or that? Why is it that you do this for your kids? You put your kids in that kind of education. Why is it that you spend time with them? Why is it that you put that effort into it? Why? Because I don't want to sacrifice them over to humanism. I was talking to Brother Tim and Sister Paula yesterday at their house, and she was talking about cell phones and kids. And I go, whew, you know, about 10-year-olds having cell phones. Would you ever give your 10-year-old a cell phone? I go, well, it depends. You know, if we're doing something and they're off over here, I might let them have my cell phone for a little bit. I might let them have one just for emergencies. But guess where it would go if when you come home, it'd go right back in the pocket, right? Or I'd give them something like Brother Charlie's got, which more and more I was tempted to get until I found out you were having a hard time getting another one. A little clamshell flip phone. Why? Because why on earth would you give the world, the devil, with all the sin, all the pull, why would you give them unfettered access to your kids? Right? Why would I do that? Well, you know, it's good for them. Eh. And then the illustration I used was this. When I was a kid, the biggest and the best thing that we always chased after was video games, right? Right, I mean, some of you, maybe you started off, you saw the Atari system, that was pretty good. But no, we were always 5-10 years behind the curb, you know. We never really had a lot of the up-to-date stuff, but that's what kids wanted, video games. So when those people grew up and had kids, what they wanted was what? Well, I'm going to give my kid the biggest and the best, and it's not so much video games anymore, though that aspect is still there. Now it's technological devices. All right, you need an iPad, iPhone, you need a new iPhone, okay, came out with a new iPad, okay, there you go. And they're giving it to them, and they're giving it to them, and they know nothing about restrictions. And every time you use the word restriction nowadays, the humanism just goes, oh, you're so mean, you're so vile, you're so protective. Yeah, I am protective, and I'm going to be protective, right? Because I want to teach them the dangers in it, right? So why would I just unfettered let the world in? I don't want to do it. We want to make sure that we are staying strong against the things that would pry to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, right? Well, I tell you what, I posted a picture of my kitten next to a flower pot, and I got 10 likes. But I was over in my the birthday party, and I was in my swimsuit, and I got 1,000 likes. So what do these kids learn to do? Let you put it together. Why is it that you got so many young kids out there doing that, showing their bodies off in that way? Why? Because I get more likes. But you can't tell them that that's the reason why. Why? Well, because you're old-fashioned, right? You're dirty for even saying so. No, you're providing something. You're showing something here, right? The pride of life. How can I feel the best about myself? And the devil will get you to do almost anything on earth just to feed that pride. So no, we want to be away from the world because it'll make a fool of you every single time. Let's go to 1 John 2:17. 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Can I do this at Sunday school? We could talk a little bit. What is something that you at one time or another saw as a social, like a social status symbol, right? Like a car. Like, what was the best car to drive when you were in high school? Anybody feel like sharing that? Mustang? Anybody else? Now, where can I get one of those today? Get your car show. Old-fashioned place. Yeah, they don't have a lot of that stuff. I can't go to the store and get that right now, can I? I mean, I could probably find a specialized dealer, go to see Jay Leno's garage or something. But I can't just get that. Now, before, kids or the young people in your day would go and they would save their money and they would work long and hard and pick up extra shifts and they could go down right down to the dealership and they could get it either on credit or by cash. They could get it. You can't get those things nowadays. The thing that was the pinnacle of your high school and young adult life, gone. Think about all the toys people get. All the things. Well, you know, I've got this brand new tech device. Tomorrow I'm going to need another one. Now, again, I've got them. I'm not picking on them, but you get what I'm saying here. The things that we value will all pass away. The things that society says is the greatest, the best, and you need it in order to fit in will pass away. So what do? I hang on to the things that don't change. I hang on to the godly things. Why would I compromise to get things that do not matter? Right? There will come a time where we forget about the nicest and flashiest car on the street. There will be a time where we forget what a 401k and what a CEO is. I think we'll be in heaven so long, we will not even be thinking about those things. So I compromise for them. Right? Oh, do you remember that time we went and did? Those things will pass away. They're good to have now. They entertain us. They fulfill us. They refresh us. But they will pass away. And when we see the more sinful elements of this world, it even calls into better light why we even bother needing them. What is the real temptation behind them if they will not last? If there's no value to them, right? Well, I went out and I firmly believe that it's perfectly okay for me to smoke this or that. You may think it, but in the long term of things, it's not going to help you. It will only hurt you. According to James 4:4, worldliness is considered spiritual adultery. God counts it as cheating against him. We have this relationship, and there you are off running with these false gods, with these false humanistic things. Why are you doing that? Right? If you love me, and I say, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you know what my commandments are, and you're out there playing games, what does that say to God? It says that we don't care, either we don't trust, or we don't care, or we love the things of this world more. Romans 12:2, we know this one, tells us not to be conformed to this world. Right? You don't need to dress the way they're all dressing. You don't need to keep up with the fads that they're all doing. It's not necessary. All right? Now listen, if you want to sit there and you want to, hey, look, I need a new this, I need a new that, and this looks pretty good, that's fine. But it's when we sit there and we make compromises on our spiritual values just so we can fit in. What's the biggest one we see nowadays among these franchise churches? Right? Homosexuality, yes, yes. Transgenderism, yes, yes. A sinful lifestyle, oh, please come as you are. We'll have beers up here in the press. Come on up, man. We'll pass those out. Right? We want to conform. We shouldn't want to conform. Well, it'll get more people in there. Okay, but that's not what we're going to do. It's just not what's going to happen here. Why would I put on fake things? Why not just be real? So we're told not to be conformed. James 1:27 tells us to keep ourselves, that the Christian should be keeping himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. You ever walk through your kitchen and you've got something, maybe you got some food, and you drop it? Now, depending on how serious you are about germs, you might just reach on down there, look at it, and pull it up to the light, make sure there's nothing on it, and then maybe you take a bite. I'm not here to judge you, right? But no, we're looking for, okay, is there any cat? I saw my dad do that one time. You know, it's fine. We used to do that as kids all the time. 5-second rule. That thing could have been sitting there 5 minutes. We still would have said 5-second rule. Just get that. You know, we wouldn't. That again, for those of us that are a little bit more serious about it, you go, no, there's no 5-second rule. It touched. You're out. That's the way the Lord is with us when it comes down to sin. Don't touch it. Don't be touched by it. Don't have a mark on you. Don't be changed by it or affected by it. Don't be anywhere near it. A worldly Christian is one given over to pleasing the flesh, the old sinful nature. The works of the flesh we know are listed in Galatians 5:19. All right, remember that list? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, heresies. I could read the whole list. It's quite extensive. But there are many things that the body is pulled towards. But just because we're pulled towards it doesn't make it right. As a matter of fact, we should understand that it's wrong. Right? We were on a walk yesterday with the family. Found a big old snake. Now, I don't know snakes, but it was a big old, it was kind of a darker color to it. I only saw it for a second because one of the kids and the dog went running at it. That's in their nature. Now, what's in my nature? Go the other way. That's me. Just because it's in your nature to do something doesn't make it right, because you could have a seared conscience. You could not understand the danger fully, right? We need to make sure that we're relying on the scriptures to tell us what is wholesome and what isn't. Even down to the way that the children of Israel lived their lives, where there was clean things and there was unclean things, we still need to keep that view today, right? There are things that we can do in this world that are clean, things that we can do in this world that are unclean. Now, what areas can we put to personal separation, where it's just me, how I'm living my life, practical ways for personal separation? Psalm 101 verse 3 gives us this: I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's why all the pastors and preachers, you know, preach against certain types of entertainments. What you watch, what you read, what you pay attention to sears the conscience. Teaches, makes things okay, justifies it, makes us more comfortable with it. Listen, a person who nonstop watches violence, who nonstop listens to cursing, who nonstop watches the things of this world, will have a skewed version of reality in their minds. It's going to happen. You'll talk to people nowadays, and they always try to define themselves like they're some kind of television character. Why is it that we've got kids that are always obsessed about finding something unique and interesting in them? Because we plop them down in front of televisions where every person on the TV has a defined character. Guess what? You don't have a solidly defined character. You should be growing. You should be changing. The bad habits you had yesterday don't have to be here today. The good habits that you won't have yet, you can develop by tomorrow. We can change. We can always be changing. And whether we believe it or not, your personality is always changing. You are not the same person you were when you were 10. You will not be the same person when you're 100. Things will change in your personality, and we need to separate that from what we see on TV. Also, why would we entertain ourselves with sinful content? When we see people sinning on the screen, when we see people doing what, why would we entertain ourselves that way? We need to be careful with it. From the movies to the television to YouTube videos, anything you see online, anything you can read from different sections of the bookstore, be wise in your decision making. Right? Spending time online playing electronic games can morph and again change you, because we always have that desire to follow the beat of the drum. Right? You'll be sitting there going, oh, I would never believe that. And after a few years or maybe a few months sitting there watching something online, all of a sudden you begin to change. It's not always for a good thing. Right? What do we link it back to? Is this scriptural? Is this right? Is this good? Is this something that would honor God? Or even ask this question, Can I invite God to come do this with me? Because, by the way, the Holy Spirit's with you. God's always there. Whenever you sin in His presence. And not just the things that I watch or listen to, but the places I will allow myself to go, the things that I wear, right? Well, this is the way everyone's wearing it nowadays. Yeah, but is it scriptural? Is it something that's going to honor God? Well, I don't like that idea. Well, you're not yours. You're bought with a price. Act like it, right? We need to have respect for the Lord. So what we wear, how we wear things, the things we say. Ephesians 4:29 teaches against corrupt communication, right? And we also need to be careful of the people that we associate with, because again, if out of love for them or desire to please them, we begin to be tempted to compromise. Well, why is it that you talk like that? Why is it that you do that now? You've never done that before. Oh, I tell you what, I had a friend turn me on to this or that. Yeah, but do you see where that doesn't fulfill right with Scripture? So you're saying my friend is wrong? Well, no, I'm saying that's wrong and he shouldn't do it. I don't know anything about your friend, but this is wrong. He shouldn't do it. Right? We allow that. When we sit there, we associate with people that are getting into these deep sins, we'll find ourselves in trouble. Let's be done there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are